Hey guys, welcome to the Cinepile Podcast. We're the podcast that talks about films that matter. And this is episode 19 and a half. If this is your first time listening to us, I just want to go through real quick what we're doing now with the podcast because we want to try to make more content more consistent. And I don't think we've done a good clear way of defining things. So I'm just going to use this time up front to quickly define things. Cinepile is going to be releasing a new episode every week for the first 3 weeks of every month. It's going to be about a 45-minute to an hour-long one, then a 20-minute, something kind of short and sweet, talking about our recommendations, nothing too in-depth. Our third week and our third episode of the month will be much more in-depth. We'll be covering something, you know, out of the Criterion Collection, something out of something that you would consider a cinephile's dream, something that adds to the pantheon that is cinema. So that way we can kind of cover more spectrums with it, because I don't want Cinepile to be this place where we're just a bunch of people being pretentious, talking about movies that we like. I want to be able to explore movies and enjoy the journey of exploring movies, because we aren't experts here in any way. I mean, we all went to film school. But what we want to do is bring you along for the journey. And as we discover things, we want you guys to discover things and start a community here with this podcast. And, I think now with this new content schedule of three new episodes for the first 3 weeks of every month, we should be, I think really exploring a lot deeper. So we're going to be doing that for about hopefully 6 months here to, really get into the meat and potatoes. That is the art of film. But let's kick it off. So first things first, it might sound a little quiet. Where are my other two hosts? Well, Neil is a color correctionist at a post-production house, and he has been given a lot of stuff to do in this last quarter of the year. So he is very, very bogged down, but that is because he is oh so talented and oh so wonderful. So we will be missing him on this episode. And Kyle is in Prague. As you can imagine, when it is after work at 5 o'clock, Kyle's already asleep because he is 6 hours ahead of us. So it is just going to be me on this podcast, today, this episode. So what we're going to do with this episode is, like I was saying before, the episode that's stuck in between the middle of the other two is more of a hot take kind of thing, talking about films that we've seen recently that we didn't have enough time to talk about on the show. And, kind of getting into just, you know, kind of off the cuff sort of commentary. So the film that I want to first talk about, I'm going to talk about two films here. I'm going to talk about the new film that mostly I think a lot of people have seen, actually. It's called Lady Bird. Lady Bird was a film out of A24, the amazing just machine that is just cranking out amazing film after amazing film. That was directed by Greta Gerwig. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up. One, it was an excellent film. Secondly, it's an excellent film that was directed by a woman. Our last film that we reviewed, The Beguiled, in episode 19, we had a little thing go past, and that was saying how you can't count on one hand five notable female directors, or at least we couldn't. And so I want to try to highlight, you know, some female directors that really do deserve the spotlight, unlike, you know, next to their male counterparts as much as they do. So, so Greta Gerwig, this is really her first big movie that she's ever done. She only had one other movie back in 2008 and hasn't directed anything else since. So it's been almost 10 years and, you know, she's sitting here with Lady Bird and absolutely just knocks it out of the park, which is pretty incredible. But her previous one was called Nights and Weekends. It was kind of a meh movie, and Lady Bird, the main sensation thing, the main marketing push that they actually ended up doing because this film was so good, and we'll get into why it was so good, was that on Rotten Tomatoes, it was trending at 100% for both audiences and critics alike for a very long time. To put that in perspective, the only film that has been able to pull that off is Toy Story 2 with a perfect 100%. It sadly has dipped down to 99%. I know. It's down to 99%. It lost its prestige. But quick synopsis of the film. So Lady Bird is actually the name of both the main character and the name of the film. It's played by Saoirse Ronan, She is a New York born American actress, Irish actress, with American accent in this film. It is essentially a coming of age story, which is what I kind of love about it, because it's a very simple story that's been told in so many different ways and so many different angles. And yet somehow Greta was able to find an angle that hadn't been explored yet. I thought that it was really innovating for me in terms of just a guy, because it's a whole perspective of the you know, females growing up, women growing up, you know, throughout high school and trying to fit in and everything at the same time. And also being able to have the same kind of, like, you know, understanding of, like, I dealt with that exact kind of issue, to where, you know, going to a school with a bunch of rich kids and wanting to be a part of their cool in crowd and finally get to be a part of their cool in crowd, and things aren't as, you know, great as you can imagine, and, you know, being put at odds with your parents. And so it's a great film about growing up in, like, a awkward kind of trying to find your own place in the world and school and social and life, while also being worried and fretting about your future, and also being at odds with your parents and at odds with yourself and your identity and everything like that. And it just handles that in such a well-paced manner that if you are a filmmaker and you are looking for a movie that just has that, you know, it's not too slow, it's not too fast, it takes the perfect amount of time in order to tell a story, Lady Bird should be part of your canon of knowing how to do that. I'm going to start out with just my rating for this film. I think this film is a solid 8.5, 8.5 to 9. I mean, I've only seen it once, but it was a staggeringly near perfect film. I think it definitely deserves a second watch to get a more accurate rating for me, but 8.5 really does sit pretty damn well with me, because overall the cinematography style, the editing style, the acting that goes on in this is so real and is so down to earth and authentic that you just can't help but be moved from all of these actors and all their stories that they have, that every single actor, they're not just a random satellite circling around the main character. They all dip and pour into one another so well, and they create this, like, amazing frothy, you know, story. I'm embellishing a little bit, I'm sorry, but how these characters interact, because a lot of times you'll get characters, let's use a very commercial like example. So you have something like Jurassic World, right? You're following Chris Pratt and some kids, and everyone is just reacting to the environment. There's not much interaction of character, there's not much growth of character. There's not really a good amount of significance. If anyone just was dead or anything like that, that's fine. They're just replaceable on the screen. Instead of, like, slowly growing and developing them with block bits by block bits, you know, most films like Jurassic Park or something like that, well, Jurassic World, sorry, they try to broad brush. And this film gets into the fine details and builds not only the main character really well, but builds all the side characters, which is really, really important for not only writing and cinematography, but it just allows for the main character to grow more. Because so often, the satellite characters that revolve around a main character, they're made to act as a sounding board in order to reflect different qualities about the main character. And if you're not evolving those side characters on the side, and your main character is somehow evolving, it makes for a very lopsided story and something that's not enjoyable. You know, it's like having only one flavor. Like, it's just sweet. You know, there's no sweet, salty, and savory in there. So that's what I'm getting at right there when I'm talking about, like, how well balanced the cast and the acting was and the writing was and the editing, that everyone had their place and it was placed well. And overall, it resulted in a very, very good film. No one ever felt like they were just domineering across the screen. I talked about a little bit of the cinematography. It was really well paced. Everything was shot on an Alexa Mini, or Alexa Airy Mini. I'm not sure, they didn't really have any notes about why they chose that in particular, But I think it was just so they could get into tighter spaces, to be honest, because the Shearsha girl, the main character who plays Lady Bird, she has this wonderful face that they always get up with up close, and she can emote so well with her face in the most subtle of ways, and in a lot of tight situations that, you know, they weren't on sets, they didn't have like wild walls to move back and forth to capture these moments. And so a lot of times, like, it seemed like the cinematographer had to get into a lot of tight situations, and that could have really only been accomplished with a smaller camera like the Arri Mini. So I think that's why they accomplished that, but I'm not sure if they did. But yeah, the cinematography was by Sam Levy. He was probably better known by by Francis Ha. Overall, the cinematography, I guess you could say, was pretty generic. There wasn't anything too crazy going on, but the subtlety of it was still appreciated, but nothing really stylistically came out except for the color. I think the color was spectacularly done. It had a very muted, but I don't know, notable palette. Very red, very yellow. I'd say really check it out. It's hard to kind of describe those colors unless I just show you a screen grab of it. But yeah, Lady Bird was just nothing short of a triumph, especially for Greta Gerwig's second film. And to kind of get back to Greta Gerwig, if you've maybe heard of her, that was because more so she's been an actress for a good period of time. I actually only know her from the film Arthur, because she's kind of the side love interest. But she's been an actor for a very good amount of time, but it seems like she's breaking out into her directorial role, which I'm all for, because she absolutely did an amazing job with Lady Bird. So again, I would say Lady Bird, it's by A24, recently came out. You can probably get it on Amazon relatively soon. And again, 8 out of 5, just a staggering film. To switch gears a little bit, definitely check out Lady Bird. Another film, you can't really even call it a film. It's not a film. It's not TV. It's not a show, but it's a video that you can watch on your phone. I was actually recently targeted on Instagram. Surprisingly, like an ad that actually worked. And it was called Mosaic. It said Steven Soderbergh. And I clicked on it and I was really curious about it. And what it actually is a... If you guys remember those old novels when you were kids and you could choose the adventure story kind of thing, or if anyone's played video games such as Heavy Rain, it's kind of like that. So it's sort of a role-playing game, but with TV. And it's this app that is this interwoven web of all these videos. And as you choose what you're doing in this entire narrative, is choose your own plot, which I think is really, really creative. I've just been going through it. I'm about halfway through, so this is kind of a take it or leave it kind of feel for my own review of it. It's, I don't want to say it's like bad or anything. I feel so bad. I'll say where it succeeds first before I kind of start dogging on it. So Steven Soderbergh is always been pushing the bounds for sure, and it's good that this experimentation is still taking place. So, you know, there's so many people that are out there making, just executive producers just making blockbusters, the next Iron Man, the next Star Wars, the next this, the next that, and no one's taking risks anymore really in cinema, and that's why I'm sitting here talking about A24 all the time. On our podcast, because they're the only ones who are really seemingly taking, you know, any kind of risk, and all these other, you know, people are being dictated almost by executive producers. But it's kind of great because it leaves this hole for people that are like cinephiles like me and hopefully like you, who can appreciate when people take risks and when people take that extra little leap from something like It Comes at Night, Good Time, Lady Bird. I mean, all these films that A24 makes are absolutely amazing. And then you have this other style that Soderbergh came out with Mosaic, trying to reach that audience that is gravitating toward their phones. And there's so often so many directors are, you know, damning the cell phone as this convention of watching film. But I mean, honestly, you look at cell phones now, we've got cell phones with 4K. They've got a great color gamut that's in it. The pixel density is incredibly good, so the detail is incredibly, incredibly crisp. But at the same time, what's habituated into your own phone is looking at it, and usually your glances. And that's where this kind of feels sort of weird. So the first thing that you get, so I recommend you download the app. It's called Mosaic. It's totally free. You can watch it, and you follow this woman who is an artist, and she's getting conned at the beginning. And she finds this love of her life kind of character who helps her out of this con and her art and like spreading her art across the United States. And that first video is 25 minutes. And I don't know, it was really hard for me, honestly, to find 25 minutes out of my time to look at my phone. You know, I'm not going to get comfortable on a couch or something like that to look at my phone, which was kind of disappointing. I sort of wish I could have participated at least on my computer or something like that. But at the same time, what it's doing, what's important, is we're fighting the good fight of keeping films in movie theaters. I think there's no substitute, and I think movie theaters will still be around for a very, very long time. There's no substitute for, you know, someone's face of anguish or joy on a 6,500-foot celluloid, you know, silver screen, or not celluloid, but just a silver screen. You know, it allows you to appreciate details that, you know, in no way you can appreciate anywhere else. But at the same time, fighting the future isn't how you kind of get new adopters into the realm of cinema. Because if we're just going to sit here as cinephiles just sticking up our nose at other forms of mediums and whatnot, then we're going to be like the next Blockbuster. We have to stay adaptable. And I think that's what Steven Soderbergh was trying to do with this. He was trying to stay adaptable for people who are looking into their devices, into their mobile phones, as a way to find some entertainment. And even though I found the form factor to be kind of limiting, I think if the story was different, I feel like if it was more engaging, if it was a little bit shorter, that it would be much more successful. So I think he championed something, and I hope that other people are going to follow behind him and continue with this trend, because honestly, I enjoyed it. So let's kind of get into it. So Mosaic, like I was saying, follows this one particular woman, and she's an artist, and she's being conned. And you find out some things where she's kind of getting conned by another con man who was helping to save her from a con man. So you get that in the first like 15 minutes. So I don't think I'm spoiling anything there. But the main kind of problem, I thought, was a lot of the shots. I mean, this is cheaply filmed, right? This is an experiment. So it is kind of cheaply shot, you know, a lot of wide establishing shots, a lot of, you know, not so well lit shots and things like that. But on the other hand, there are some amazing, amazing shots going on, like with a, you know, floating Steadicam that you kind of appreciate sometimes, but it's sort of hard because it's on a cell phone. The one thing you can appreciate is it does star Pee Wee Herman, which I think is pretty badass. It's the artist. I'm sorry I keep on just saying the artist. I forgot her name. But her best friend is Pee Wee Herman. Not as Pee Wee Herman, but he gets to play her best friend. And I think he's actually a really great actor in it, and kind of like helping her through everything else. But it's very interesting. So I'll let you kind of explore that. And while you watch it, like, let's say if someone says, oh, hey, I had a really bad dream, you'll get a little pop up. And it's like, do you want to see her dream? And so you can tap into that, and it flows on in, and you get to be in her dream all of a sudden. And I thought that was really, really cool, because I could have completely ignored it and not seen her dream and just continued with the story. Where the kind of downfall is that is kind of interruptive, because it's violating traditions, and that's a good and bad thing. How it's a good thing is that it is being inventive and it's trying to push boundaries and make for more participation with the medium. At the bad time, sometimes film is supposed to be observed and not interacted with. So you really want to make, and I don't think necessarily the film is bringing up good times for you to want to interact. I would think more so crime thriller with this format would be much more interesting. Granted, I'm only halfway through, so maybe it becomes a crime thriller. But as it stands, I'd still say to give it a try and download the app, give it a little watch, watch a listen, and tell me what you think about it. If you want to ever reach out to us, by the way, because we've recently been getting some emails, and I know I haven't been putting it at the bottom of the stories or the end of the episodes, is it's cinepile@gmail.com. So cinepile at gmail.com. If you guys want us to review any other films or suggestions that you may have, let me know and we can check those out for you guys. It's no problem at all. Like we want to build a community. I had one person, they sent me a script for us to review. So we're going to be reading that person's script. So if you want to send us anything, let us know. We're more than happy to do that. I'm going to violate my rule here. I said I was going to do two. I want to talk about three. If any of my friends will tell you that I am really into cryptocurrencies as of like August this year, and a really great book, well, not book, but a really great documentary that I just watched is called Banking on Bitcoin. So if like anybody else, you're sitting out there listening to people talk about Bitcoin all the time, I'd recommend going onto Netflix, watching Banking on Bitcoin, getting a little bit more of information. I think they do a really solid job. It's an interesting documentary and does a really good job informing you on just what Bitcoin is and what cryptocurrencies are and everything like that. Jumping back to Mosaic here after that aside. Download Mosaic. Check it out. Let us know what you think about it. I'd say that I'm definitely going to finish it, even though I'm already halfway through. Don't be discouraged by my kind of wavering confidence, because for all I know, other people could like it much more than I do, but I'm still going to give it that full try, because I think it's a great medium and a great methodology that he has done here, and I think it does have other practices that it could be done with in terms of like other genres. But as it stands right now, it's kind of wavering at a five. You know, it's just kind of entertaining. It's not anything amazing, just because of the simple shot style and you kind of come in and out of it, because you watch a 25-minute video, then maybe you watch something else a little bit later tomorrow, the next day. So it doesn't have that sit-down quality, but it's also meant for mobile devices, so it's supposed to do that. Let me know what you feel about that. Wrapping up this solo podcast episode, sorry if I rambled or anything like that. That is a tendency that I have. Check out Lady Bird, Mosaic, and Banking on Bitcoin. And then also, speaking of which, if anybody does want to support our podcast in any kind of way, I will be setting up in the description below a cryptocurrency wallet for any kind of donations. We've had people reach out and like, hey, like, do you guys have a Patreon or anything like that? And I've looked into Patreon, and there seems to be a lot of fees associated with it. Patreon used to be very, very free and very much so like, hey, like, you give a dollar, you get a dollar. And then it got popular and it started to like, hey, you get a dollar. Like, your people give a dollar, you get 75 cents, you get 65 cents. And it's progressively been getting worse and worse. And kind of with this new passion of cryptocurrencies and peer-to-peer lending and everything like that, and peer-to-peer payment, that I'm going to have some Bitcoin, Litecoin addresses belowhand, and Vertcoin, because I like that one a lot, kind of getting into my personal life. But I'm going to do a Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Vertcoin wallet address. If you guys want to donate, you can. If you don't, don't. But what you can do is, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, give us a heart, shoot us a comment or something like that. Like I said, you can email us, let us know if you like something, if you don't like something. If you could really, really help me out, this is what we do specifically. We will read your review out loud on the podcast and announce your username and everything like that. And you get to recommend a film to us if you write us a review on iTunes. That really does help us as far as being found within the search engine. And it just would allow us to kind of take off. So if you like what you're hearing, please write us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You can follow us on Instagram @CinepilePod. Again, it's just CinepilePod. And then you can also like us on Facebook if you want. So however you want to stay in contact with us, I've tried to make it as easy as possible. Just feel free to choose. We'll have all the links below so that we don't have to try to search for us too much. But again, Mosaic, Banking on Bitcoin, and Lady Bird. Definitely Lady Bird out of all three of those would be the one to see. But I appreciate you guys. And a special thanks goes out to Jesse James and Stash Jenkins for the music. Once again, I love that intro and outro music. Appreciate you guys. Well, all right. We will be reviewing the little film from the Criterion Collection this Sunday. And we will have a new episode coming out, not this Friday that you're listening to, but the next Friday at 8 a.m. And we look forward to hearing you guys then. Talk to you later. Bye.